We're going to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 21. Today is what we call Palm Sunday, a very special time. And my sermon, I've asked the question, why did the children sing? Why do the children sing? Matthew 21, 1 through 17. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. I believe we'll have it written on, projected upon the screen if you want to look up at the screen to see the scriptures there. Matthew 21, verse 1. And when they drew near unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples and said unto them, go into the village opposite you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a little colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if any man say anything unto you, you say to them, the Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, sitting upon a donkey and a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And he brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches, like palm branches, from the trees and spread them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, why, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all those that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were very displeased. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he stayed there for a while. Now, this is the passage where we base the idea of Palm Sunday. And the children, it says in verse 15, the children are singing, the children are crying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. You'll notice in verse 15 something very upsetting, at least to me, and probably to you. In verse 15 it says, and when the chief priest and the scribes, that would be the religious leaders, that would be like me, the pastor, the leader of the congregation, the chief priests and the scribes, when they saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, you would think when they saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, they would have been so happy, so thrilled. You would have thought they would have said, oh, praise his name. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did, And then they heard those children, like the children were singing here. This one, wasn't that good and beautiful songs that you all chose for them to sing today? They heard the children singing and they were saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the Son of David. And notice there in verse 15 at the very end, they were sore, that's an old word, they were very displeased. So here you have the religious leaders of Israel, the chief priests and the scribes, and they're seeing all that Jesus is doing. They ought to be thrilled, they ought to be happy, they ought to be joining in singing the praises, but they're not. They're critical. They don't like what's going on. They don't like anything about it. And so they are very displeased. And in another one of the passages that tells this same story, they said, why don't you make them stop? Why don't you shut them up? Why don't you tell them to not do this, not to sing? And that's when Jesus said, if they stop singing and praising me, the stones along the way will begin to cry out and praise me. In other words, Jesus said, if they don't, I'll get somebody, because somebody's going to praise me. Even the rocks along the way will give me praise. Well, in this passage, in verse 16, they said, do you not hear what these are saying? And Jesus said there in verse 16, have you not read in the Bible, have you not read in the scriptures where it says, out of the mouth of babies thou hast perfected praise? That's in Psalm chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, where that is found. You know, I have always loved the children. I saw them up here this morning, and we dearly love to see the children as they sing and as they praise the Lord. And wondering about why children seem to love Jesus so much. It seems like a very natural thing for them to do. I mean, what would Christmas be without the children? They get so excited about the baby Jesus born in a manger. They get so excited about the angels announcing his birth. They get so excited about the shepherds and the wise men and all of those things. Children love to hear about the birth of Jesus, and they love to sing about the birth of Jesus as well. The other day I was watching some little bitty children, and someone came in their presence with a little baby. And I saw those children as they gathered around that mother and father and those aunts and uncles. They were just loving to see that little baby. Something about the baby drew their attention. They were smiling. They were acting like they were having such a wonderful time. Children love to think about the birth of Jesus. Little children are drawn to little babies. You know, Jesus said that he wanted all the children to come to him. I look back in Matthew 19. Matthew 19 and verse 13. Just turn backwards in your Bible just a little bit. Matthew 19:13. Then were there brought unto him, that is to Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands upon them and departed from there. Here that scene is mentioned in one of the other gospels as well. Jesus is there and the disciples are there and the parents are bringing their children. And the children, the parents are so happy that Jesus is receiving them. And the disciples of Jesus say, don't bother him. He's too busy. He's such an important man. He is the Son of God. He doesn't have time to be distracted by the children. And I see Jesus getting real upset at them. And he looks at those disciples who are saying, make the children go away. And he says to them, you permit, you allow those little children to come to me, because of such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus loves the little children. We love to sing that song, don't we? Children, can y'all help me sing that? I just feel like I want to. I do what I want to when I'm up here anyway. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Boy, that's a good song. Thank you all. He does. He loves them. And he said to the disciples, you let those children come to me. Now turn back to another chapter, chapter 18 of Matthew. Instead of going forward in the Bible, we're going backwards. That's unusual, isn't it? Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 1, and let's notice what he says. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and sat him down in the midst of them, Mark says, in his arms, and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that's a very serious thing, isn't it? Jesus said to these guys, these disciples, apparently they were worried about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom when the kingdom came. Who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus pointed out to that little child and said, I want you to know, except you be converted, become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now look at verse 4, if you're in Matthew chapter 18 with me. Wherefore, therefore, shall whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. When Jesus looked at that little child, he saw humility. That's what he saw in him. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. So Jesus said, if you receive that little child, you're receiving me. That's not my word. That's the word of Jesus. He said, if you receive one of these little children, in my name, you receive me. Look at verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me. Now this is a serious verse, isn't it? And I just keep reading the newspaper nearly every day. The Texarkana Gazette and the Arkansas Democrat, all of our newspapers and all, they carry stories and television about child abuse and the way that the little children are being abused all over this country. And we talk about the sins of our nation, and that's one of the most awful sins anyone can commit, is to abuse a child. And I get that idea from what Jesus said. Look at what he said in verse 6. He said, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me. Now, this gets pretty serious, folks. Jesus is saying this. It were better for him or her. It's not just the men that abuse the children. Women do too. It were better for him or her that a millstone, a rock, a big old piece of concrete should be hanged about his or her neck, and that they would be drowned in the depth of the sea. Now that's wonderful, wonderful, gentle Jesus. And he is saying to those disciples, if anyone offends these children, it would be better if somebody tied a big old heavy concrete block around their neck and threw them overboard out of the boat in Derrick's Lake or wherever else and let them go to the bottom and never come up. That's what Jesus said. He says that's how serious child abuse, offending the little ones, really is. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it'd be better for him to have a millstone hanged about his neck and he'd be drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the one by whom it does come. Now notice verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Now this verse is kind of interesting, very interesting to me and to everybody else who looks at it. We talk about a person having a guardian angel. And you may think that a person has a guardian angel. That's a common thought. Well, those Christians of us who believe in that, we take this verse literally. And so you say, do we believe in guardian angels? Well, look at this verse and see what you think. Look at it, verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, because I say unto you that in heaven their guardian angels? That's a deep thought. You give that some thought. Probably you already have, and you either believe in them or you don't. But that verse is the verse that we base our idea about little angels. He says, take heed, because in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Then Jesus tells a story about some sheep. He says, for the son, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, one of them goes astray, he will leave the 99, go into the mountains, find the stray, and bring it back. In verse 13 he says, and if so be that he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish. Yeah, Jesus said that little children are humble, and he said we must also be humble like the little children. When you think about a child, I know some of y'all think about them in not good ways, but most of us on our better days when things are going our way and the children are acting real good, then we realize what Jesus is saying here. What would you think? Help me out here preaching. What is one characteristic of a child that you think Jesus admires? Someone. A child is what? Oh, come on, you guys. A child is what? What? Innocence. A child has innocence. All right. It's very simple. A child has innocence. And we think of a child like that. Sometimes you call them a little angel, and sometimes you call them a little something else. But those little children, they are sort of innocent. That's one of the ideas. What's another characteristic of a child? Trusting. And that's so important. I read a sermon by a preacher from way years and years and years ago on the internet last night, and his sermon was, what do we teach our children? And he indicated that Charles Spurgeon had said that it's important to teach the little children to love Jesus, but said it is more important to teach the little children to trust Jesus. He said both of those things are important, but the trust is there. And so they are trusting. Little children are trusting. And you've got to trust Jesus in order to be saved. Isn't that right? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. And what's another? We've got trust and innocence. What's another characteristic of children? Can you think of another word? Do what? It's easy for them to believe. And that's where we just have to be so cautious. I know I'm always joking, and I was always joking with my kids, my children, our two little boys, and sometimes they would look up at Anna, my wife, and say, "Is Daddy serious?" Because I always cut up with them, and I'd tell them things, the wild things. They thought I was, you know, and they thought I was their preacher as well, and I ought to be telling them the truth. But sometimes I'd tell them wild stories, big tales, all, and they'd look at their mother and say, "Is Daddy really telling me the truth?" A child needs, and a child believes, and that's why it's important that we tell them the truth and not tell them a whole bunch of things that are not true. A child has got another idea. We are trusting. They believe easily. They are innocent. What's another characteristic of a child? They're dependent, aren't they? Our little children, they depend upon us. And we could leave them in the house out there somewhere and just take a road trip for several weeks. And if we came back, they'd probably be dead or they'd run off somewhere else. And people do that sort of thing all the time. But they are dependent upon us to feed and to clothe them and to teach them and so forth. And so Jesus says we must become like little children. We must be trusting. We must be humble. We must be dependent, and we must be teachable. Some of y'all are school teachers. Little children are teachable. Most of them are. Sometimes you run into one that's mighty hard to teach, and that's a real problem. But children are teachable, and we are to be teachable as well. Well, I was watching as the children told us about Jesus. And they told us all about him in the music a while ago, didn't they? What kind of a Jesus really is. And they said Jesus would save us. Now this week, beginning tomorrow, is a week that many of us call Holy Week. From Monday through next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And I always think of it as that. And so we are moving toward the cross, toward Friday, which Jesus died upon the cross, and then, of course, Sunday, the day of the resurrection. And one thing that one of the little boys said reminded me of that. He said, Jesus gave his life for us. He died for us upon the cross. Now, you adults and some of you young people, if you've been watching the news the last 2 days, you know that police officer over in France? Isn't that the saddest but the most wonderful story that you have ever heard? Some of y'all may not have had time. You've been dealing with the children and your jobs, and you hadn't been able to watch the news. But anyway, there was this guy who claims to be a part of ISIS. He was a killer, a terrible guy. So he came, he'd already killed some in this town in France, and so he comes into the supermarket. And there he is going to kill some other people. And he's doing this in the name of his God, Allah. He's doing it for that reason. And there's this young, wonderful, brave police officer who has been, he's been in Iraq and Afghanistan. He's got all kinds of awards. He has taught classes dealing with terrorists. As a matter of fact, I read this morning where it said that he had actually done some classes teaching people how to deal with terrorists in a supermarket, of all things. Well, he goes into that supermarket, and here that guy is. He's getting ready to kill people in that store. And this young man goes in, and here's the clerk, and he says to the terrorist. He says, here, I will take her place. I will take her place. Don't hurt her. I will take her place. He didn't have his gun. He did have his phone. And it was alive so that the people on the outside could hear what was happening and the rescuers should come and rescue. And sure enough, the guy, he took the place of the clerk and the guy shot him and he died. And his brother and his mother and his sisters and others have been saying on the news, this is just like him. He was one who loved others and cared for others. And it's just like him to be willing to say, I will take the place of that young lady. Don't kill her. Let her go. I'll take her place. And when I thought about that, I thought, man, that's the story of Jesus. That's the story of the cross, is it not? Jesus was saying, I will take their place. And last Sunday we preached on the word from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we talked about the fact that Jesus was taking our place, paying the penalty for our sins upon the cross. He did that. Greater love, and one of the little boys said this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Oh, how he loves you and me. The children sang it. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life for us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the children, for their songs. We're thankful for the story here of Palm Sunday in the Bible. We're thankful for what you did for us upon the cross. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that during this moment of invitation, your will might be done. And that if there is anyone here who is lost, who is not saved, who has never believed upon you and asked you to come and be their Savior, that they'll do that today. Now, Lord, there may be some who want to be baptized, who want to join the church, maybe some who need to rededicate their life to you. I pray that just as they are, they will come to you. In your name we pray. Amen.